already mentioned the chock-a-block schedule the Pope is busy with practically every day. Scouring the past week's events, one in particular caught my eye because it deals with an issue that is close to my heart. On Saturday, March the 17th, I read, Pope Benedict XVI received a group of visually impaired people belonging to the Apostolic Movement for the Blind. The Pope described them as bearers of their own special experience, that of walking together, side by side, the sightless and the sighted. This, he said, is a testimony of how Christian love enables handicaps to be overcome, and of how to live diversity in a positive way, as an opportunity to open up to others, attentive to their problems, but above all, to their gifts. You may be wondering why I describe the visually impaired as close to my heart. It's because some years ago I found myself in close contact with a group of them, when I decided to dedicate a series of radio programs to people with disabilities. I'll never forget the courage of Mary Lou, who made her way across the city, catching buses and defying the traffic with a white cane to come and speak to me about her passion for scuba diving. That was also when I met Giulio Nardone, the president for the Italian Association for the Visually Impaired, who told me what is the biggest wrong society does to the blind.
The worst, I think, is the misunderstanding the problems and the non-understanding of the possibility that we have. So most of the, we say, normal people believe that the blind person can do only few activities, and also in the working field they believe that we can do only very, very traditional professions. Also the law in Italy helps to have these wrong ideas, because we have some laws that protect the blind people, pushing them to choose some particular professions, like telephone operators or physiotherapists. And so most blind people is working in these fields. And I know a lot of friends, a lot of members of my association that are doctor in law, perhaps, and they work like telephone operators.
Giulio says that the visually impaired not only engage in a daily battle against architectural barriers, computer programs based on user-friendly images, icons, and other visual aids, and hundreds of everyday appliances designed for people with good eyesight. They also have to fight a common negative mentality that relegates them to certain roles and protected lifestyles, marginalizing them from life. That's why, Giulio says, every year he takes about 120 blind people skiing in the Alps.
It responds to another wave of considering the blind people situation in our association, in our community. We believe that blind person has to try to do everything that is possible to do. And this is not only a system or life of living, but a way of thinking. I mean, if you are blind and you are thinking of all the things that you cannot do because you are blind, that is a wrong system to live. It's a wrong system to face the life. The right way is to consider all the things that, even though you are blind, you can do.
And that's exactly what Angela McManus is involved in promoting at Liverpool's St. Vincent School for the Blind.
Our policy here is tolerance and respect across the whole community and hopefully across society. And therefore, we think a right of access to everyone. So we have a little phrase. We say, there isn't any such thing as can't here. And our whole reason to be is to enable. And so we think everyone can be enabled to achieve the highest possible of their potential. And so we make sure that everyone has that right of access, and whether that's done through the different materials, resources, the way things are delivered. But we think everyone has an entitlement, and you know, whatever topic, whatever subject, we don't exclude any child from trying to access everything.
Yes, because the school welcomes children as young as 2 or 3, whose first task is to learn to get around, and maybe to pick up a dropped toy.
We have mobility teachers, everyone is trained in order to be able to guide and to enable people to find their way round. So they have a formal mobility lesson. Mobility and independence and mobility and orientation is really paramount, because if you can't get yourself to class, you're never going to access things. If you can't find your way to the washrooms and your dining hall. So as the children arrive into school, they're shown, you know, the route from the door to their cloakroom, from the cloakroom to their classroom. We have tactile markers around the school. We have different set floor surfaces. And so as the children change direction within the school building, then they know from the sound of the floor surface or the tiles on the wall or the different surfaces and markers where they are in the building. So you have to build up mental maps, mental mapping of where you are. And that takes an awful lot of memory and an awful lot of repetition, because it depends how you can access your environment. The children learn to track and to find things. Tracking is like a kind of our equivalent of eye scanning, but they scan with their hands, with their fingers, and we have they guide their own space by holding the hand a certain way to the side and in front of them as they're learning to find their way around. And you begin that within the home environment. As the toddlers, you know, the frustration as they drop a toy, well, how do they find it? So you start with what we call search to find skills. You work out from your body and you scan across in an arc in front of you to be able to find your toy on the floor.
What the teachers at the school ultimately try to do is build up the confidence and the self-esteem so that every young person may reach a level of independence.
And the ultimate goal is that our young people work within the home, within the school environment, finding their way, being as independent as possible, looking after themselves, learning to wash, to iron that on their independence, to find the way to the bus stop, to find the way to the supermarket, to buy their own goods, to bring it back to school or to the home, cook a meal, invite friends, and just be like any other young person.
Of course, that's what we all want, isn't it? Just to be like everyone else. And even although it entails a whole lot more of hard work, a visually impaired person can live a perfectly fulfilling and exciting life.
It's just making life's experiences as practical and as hands-on, because, you know, it's finding the way. It's a different route of access, but hopefully the goals are the same. That independence and that confidence and self-esteem to go on to thrive, not just survive. And that's the goal that we have for all our young people.
So it's far from thinking that to be blind is also to be helpless. Stephen Poole, a rehabilitation officer at Liverpool's Christopher Grange Institute, is convinced of it.
Absolutely. We believe totally the opposite, in fact. We believe that it's society that disables visually impaired people. I mean, for instance, if someone with sight loss goes to a restaurant and they don't have a menu in an accessible format, is that the fault of the person, or is it the fault of the restaurant? Well, we believe it's the fault of the restaurant. So we encourage people to be proactive with their disability.